and just wanted to keep it going here on breaking cycles. And so I want to start in 1 John 2 for just a moment and then move on. Just because I want to review last week. Last week, boy, it was a very serious lesson. And a lot of people, several people came and said, but it really impacted me. And we need to break these cycles and understand that. And the most important thing I said last week, and I want to just review just for a minute last week, and then we'll get into this week's lesson, is cycles are the most important thing I said is you have to look at your actions, not your intentions, to decide whether you're in a cycle. And that's really what was the most important thing I said. 1 John 2, and verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk a little bit. Father, I pray your spirit to speak, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Lord, the devil is not smarter than us, and he's got some tricks that many times keep us in darkness, as these verses say, and I pray that your spirit would send the light and help us to understand these things so we can all be broken free from cycles in our lives that we don't want. And I pray that thy spirit would please reveal things and the word of God to be clear to us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So somebody could say, I love God, but if you hate your brother, Bible says you're wrong, you're walking in darkness. And we said the last week that one of the things the devil does is he keeps you in cycles because he keeps you content with yourself because you're really a good person. And yeah, you probably should have done that, but you're a really good person and you don't mean to. You're abusive in your family, but then say your family comes and get some counseling or something, and we have a talk, and you say, well, I you know what? I know I lost it, but it won't happen again. I really do love my family. And you really do love your family. Okay? I understand that. You don't hate them, but every 3 months you blow up. You're not who you intend to be or what you feel you are. You are what you do. Okay? And so if you say you love God and you hate your brother, the Bible says you're a liar. So God says you're a liar. You're lying. And so it's not what you intend, but I really want to be. And so are you in a cycle? It's not, well, I know I do this, but really it's not me. But it is you. Unless there, you have an alter ego that's controlling you or something. I mean, it's you. And so you have to do that. And so it says you got to realize the two hardest things about cycles is, number one, it's hard to see your normal. In other words, what you do doesn't stand out to you because it's what you do. You probably grew up with it in many cases, and it looks normal to you. So you don't know you're in a cycle many times. Somebody who's a liar, who deceive people, they always justify it, and they don't really realize that's what they are, and they're always in the cycle of lying and getting caught and getting in trouble. Somebody who misses work all the time and doesn't show up for work. Every time there's a reason. So they see the reason, not, I don't show up to work and I miss work. Anyways, you don't, it's your norm. And so your dad screamed and yelled and abused your mom, and you don't, it didn't stand out to you that you really are that bad. You're not as bad as your dad. It's normal to you. I want to say this. Children of alcoholics almost always in their life will bring chaos as they grow older. And you'll say, why are you doing that? Why are you making your life messed up? Because they grew up in chaos and they're comfortable in it. And so they'll bring that again. So you don't know your norm if it's a bad cycle. Many times you don't know you're in a bad cycle. But wise people have told you many times and you think they all just judge you. and so you don't see that about yourself. And so so it's hard to break it. It's also hard to be honest about yourself and saying, I keep on failing in this. But most of the time, people say, well, I just had bad luck. If this person wouldn't have done this, or if this boss wouldn't have done this, or if this person wouldn't have said this to me. But it has, and it just seems like it always will. Because the devil's not going to run out of temptations for you. Okay. Devil's not going to say, man, I spent them all by the time you're 18. You're going to have an easy life the rest of your life. Okay. He's got a lot to go at you. And so if you don't, so you have to kind of say, okay, I don't see this about myself. I don't see, but I keep on ending up here. So what's the problem? I've got a cycle here. I got to figure out. That's the hardest thing is not thinking just the same set of stars lined up and it just happened to happen, but it won't happen again. Okay. If it's a one-time thing, it's a one-time thing. So it's hard. Those are the reasons. Now, let me take it to 1 Timothy. So that was just a review from last week. It's hard to really see yourself clearly and admit things. Once you admit it, man, you're on the gravy train, but you got to start off. 2 Timothy, sorry. You got to start. You got to really be honest and say, you know, I always end up in debt. And you can say, well, but it's because I got laid off. But why was it last time? Well, it's because my car broke. Why was it the time before that? It's because my mom and dad kicked me out of the house. Why was it the time before that? It was, you know, okay, but you've been in debt. Every time you get out of debt, you get in debt again real quick. Well, but really, I'm not bad with my money. Yes, you are. Okay, you're bad with your money. Just stop. And then say, there's a reason, you know. You have to drive down the road and swerve your car, hoping it'll suck up a little gas, you know, 3 days a week. And because you're in a cycle and you don't realize that. And you think it's because of bad luck. And just because this happened to happen. Listen, it always happens at the wrong time. If you haven't realized that yet, your car will break down at the wrong time if you do not handle your money well. Okay? And things just happen. It's you're on earth. Until the millennium, when our cars will never break down, I guess, I don't know, or whatever we write. Life has full of troubles, and you got to be prepared. And so you got to realize that stuff about yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, it says, but in a great house there is not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So in a great house there is all kinds of pots, there's all kinds of pans, there's all kinds of dishes, there's all kinds of cups, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Some of them are the beautiful china that you look at and they're beautiful, and some are the ones that people drink out of, and some, well, are used for scooping grease, and some are used for, back in that day before we had indoor plumbing, for worse things. And it says some are honored and some are dishonored, okay? And that's in a great house. Now, he's going to relate that great house to us in our lives, okay? Verse 6, if a man therefore will purge himself from these, the vessels of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared from every good work. So he's saying to Timothy, he's going to say, here's some bad things that we shouldn't be doing, and things like that. He says, if you'll purge yourself from these things, you can be one of those vessels of honor. Now, God has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And God says, just like you would say, I don't want to drink out of that. God says some things, I don't want to use that. There are certain vessels of honor, and they're purged. They're cleaned, okay? And if a man will purge himself from these things, then he's a vessel unto honor, meet, worthy of the master's use. That's where we want to get to. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart, but a foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strifes. So purge yourself, become a vessel of honor, then you're sanctified, you're ready for God to use you. You understand, if you want God to use you, he just says how? Purge yourself from things of dishonor, and you are now ready for God to use you. It's not like God says, I got so many good vessels to use here. You know what? I'll use that one. No, you understand, the second he has a vessel to use, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. He says, it's clean, use it. I mean, that's what God does. He wants to use you, he has a plan for you. You just got to become a vessel of honor. And so that's what he wants to do. So he gives you some things to do. He talks about fleeing things and following things and being sanctified. And then he talks about not getting sidetracked. He says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, verse 23, knowing they do gender strife. So I want to give you just a few things starting here that we should be doing that'll help us to break our cycles. And the first thing I want to say is flee lusts. Flee lusts. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. Flee. Now he's talking, the Apostle Paul, maybe the greatest Christian who's ever lived, is talking to Timothy, his right-hand disciple who he's trained. And he says, Timothy, you need to run from your lusts. Okay, you need to run. Joseph, this amazing Christian, what happened when Potiphar's wife was trying to commit adultery? He ran. Okay, he ran away. And that's the pattern. Let me take you to Proverbs. We'll be a lot in Proverbs today. And let me take you to Proverbs and take you to chapter 7. I find Christians who don't follow Christians who know how weak they are. You know you're weak. I'm pretty weak sometimes. I would love to say I'm super, super strong and can always do what God wants me to do. But you know what? Sometimes, you know what I do? When it's there, I fall. Some of us are pretty weak. Our flesh is weak. Amen? And so we've got to flee. Proverbs chapter 7. In verse 7, and I beheld among the simple ones and discerned among the youths a man void of understanding, passing through the streets near the corner, and he went the way of her house in the twilight and the evening in the black of the dark night. So there's this young man, and Solomon's looking out the window. He sees this young man, and he's walking in the wrong part of town near a woman who's an adulteress, a wicked woman. And behold, there met him a woman and with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not at her house. She is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait in every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have my peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore I came forth to meet thee. And so we see that here's this woman. She's found him. He's in the wrong spot. He's being seduced. And there he is. Verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox go to the slaughter, or as a fool the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth the snare, and knoweth not it is for her his life. Verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the ways of death. Now, if you read the start of the chapter, Solomon's going to say, listen, son, I want to teach you not to go the way of her house. He's not going to teach her how to resist her when she comes up and starts kissing him and comes up in her bad clothing. He's not going to teach him that because he's gone then. He's not going to teach. He's going to teach her how to not go the way near her house. Why? You flee youthful lust. You flee your lust, and you got to be very careful. Look at Matthew chapter 5. And we're talking lust, and it means any strong desire. But just talking about sexual lust and things here. Matthew chapter 5. We see Jesus talking about this, Matthew 5. It's saying Proverbs, if you didn't already. We're going to be in Proverbs a lot today. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this, but I say unto thee that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So the context is a man looking at lust. Verse 29, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, that whole body should be cast into hell. What does it say? It says, if your right eye is causing you to sin, get rid of it. It is saying, very simply, I want to say this, avoiding and running is easier than resisting. That is so, so important to understand that. There are things that I haven't done since I became a Christian, you know, since I really started serving the Lord since I was, you know, 17. Bunch of things I haven't done. I promise you, if I was around those things and they were with me all the time, I would have done them. I separated. Now, you can't resist, as the Bible says, resist all temptation altogether because then you'd have to leave the world. But Jesus prayed, keep them from the evil. Do not your weaknesses, whatever your weakness is, it's drugs, it's alcohol, it's anger, it's bitterness, it's gossip, it's whatever. Whatever your weakness is, do not try to resist that weakness. We don't resist these things very well. An alcoholic doesn't stand in the bar and says, I'm going to resist drinking. I'm just going to stand and talk to my friends here. Good luck. You flee these things. You run from them. You do not resist. You avoid. You run from it. I right now, my dad is an alcoholic. I grew up drinking since I was, I started drinking when I was in fifth grade, okay? Drunk a lot. And by the time I was about 15, I think I was headed towards being an alcoholic. I was drinking regularly and doing it not just to get drunk anymore and all that stuff. And since I've been serving the Lord, I haven't drunk at all. I can tell you the last time I drunk, and been a long time. And I have no desire for alcohol. I just don't have any desire for it. I should. They say I have that disease in me, but I don't. I don't have cancer, and I don't think I have alcoholism. I don't have that. But if I was around it all the time, now I can be by someone, they're drinking, it doesn't affect me at all. But I don't push it and say, you know what? Alcohol is never going to affect me. I don't have to resist alcohol. I'm just not around it. Okay, the Bible says be not around wine bibbers. The Bible commands me to do that, so I don't hang around people drinking. Okay? And I have no, it's how careful I am, okay? I have no desire for alcohol at all, but I avoid restaurants where there's a bar in the middle of it. I very rarely go to a restaurant like Red Robin or Applebee's and stuff like that. I'm not against it. If somebody, that's their favorite restaurant, want to take me, I'm not, but I very rarely go there. I never go there by choice. Why? Because I don't want to get even close. So you understand? So I'm not sitting there saying, oh, alcohol. I'm not near it. Okay? The guy with the lust problem shouldn't go near the beach. Or he could say, you know, no, I'm just going to resist looking. You're a dummy, man. You got it. If you're that dumb. Okay, come on, you run, you flee. If you want to break your cycles, you don't sit here and say, I won't do it this time. We have no confidence in the flesh. Be very careful about that. If you think you're going to talk to your if you have a gossip problem, you're talking to your favorite gossiping person on the phone, but you're not going to gossip this time, good luck. Maybe you can one time, but if you hang around them all the time, and you got nothing to talk about, you might be in trouble. See, you got to run. Avoiding is much easier than resisting. That's why I would never have cable TV. I just wouldn't. You say, would you watch Bad Things, Pastor? I don't know if I watch Bad Things. I know I'd waste a lot of time. Okay, but I don't have to. I don't want to resist that. Okay. You try to flee these things. You try to avoid these things, and you try to stay away from those things. Number two, if you want to get out of a cycle, you have to change your path. Let me go back to 2 Timothy here. We're going to be 2 Timothy and Proverbs. Keep your finger in those two places, and I won't lose you. These patterns are so consistent that these things I'm going to mention right now, if you don't do all four of these, I've just learned to tell people when they say, I want to change my life, and I'll say, okay, here's what you need to do, da, 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 da. And they'll say, oh, you know, I don't have to go that far. I'll say, okay, when you don't stop, then talk to me and we'll be glad to help you. Because I already know, if they want to do these four things, their cycle's going to continue. It's just going to. We know that. 2 Timothy, because we're weak. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. We're going to get to both those things right there at my next point. But the thing I want to say is you change your path. Follow after something. You follow after. Let me take you back to Proverbs again. There is a path of your life, okay? There is a direction of your life. There is what your life's about. Now, your life might not be ministry. If I said, this is Brother Young, by the way, he's our missionary to Russia. If I said, Brother Young, what's your life about? His life's pretty easy to find. He's in a faraway country, trying to reach people. His path is very definable. I mean, it's different than most of our paths, for example. But if I ask you your path, somewhere in that definition, should start with Jesus. Amen. Okay, you say, I am raising a family for the Lord and working a job and going to church and trying to make a difference. Everybody's path, whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord and not to men. Your path, direction of your life, should be a whole new path. It's not the old path that we lived before. Proverbs chapter 4, there's paths of life. It's just a direction you're going. It's your direction. Proverbs 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Okay, Proverbs 4, 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Do you see there's a certain kind of path for a certain kind of person? Okay, there's a path and the way of the wicked. That's their way. That's where they go. Listen, there is a certain direction that unrighteous people have. There's a certain direction that righteous people have, and they go opposite directions. Okay? And you got to pick that path. Are you on the world's path? Are you on their way, or are you in a different path? Enter not the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Don't even come near it. Okay? That's a path. The wicked path. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. It's a path of your life. It's where you're going. It's kind of what you do. Proverbs 12 and verse 26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Their own way is their downfall. Their own way seduces them. This sounds a little offensive to you, but it really isn't. So I go down to the jail. I'm down here at RJC, let's say, or whatever jail I'm out visiting. And I'm visiting someone, trying to be a help to them and do that work. A whole bunch of people who come to visit, not everybody, but a whole bunch of people who come to visit their people in jail are doing the exact same thing and acting the same way. The one thing, please don't get offended. I'm at the jail. Obviously, I have compassion on them, okay? I love these people, okay? I've been in the jail more than anybody in this room, okay? Okay, on the right side of the glass, okay? So, you never go to a jail near the end of visitation time, because everybody going to visit the person gets there right as it's closing. There is no wait if you get there early. There is a super wait, and you probably won't get in if you get there at the end. Why? Because it's a bunch of people who live a certain way, and part of that is low character and getting everywhere late. Getting everywhere late is low character, by the way. It's free. Nothing to do with the message. And they're going to gripe about the stupid system. That's what they're going to do. This stupid cops, he shouldn't even be here anyway and make us come in here. And they're probably going to cut our time short. Listen, I got here before the ending time. It ends at 3:30 and I got here before 3:30. They don't read it. It says ends at 3:30. Okay, and there's just this griping, there's this anger, there's this discontent. Why? It's just a path that brought them there. You follow what I'm saying there? The system's bad. They just happen to pick them off the street and arrest them for no reason. And they jumped in front of this guy's fist when he's swinging at the policeman, and the policeman just happens to be where he's swinging. And you know, it's all somebody else's fault. And there's a way of life, a type of lifestyle. This is what we're doing, and we're living this way. That is a lifestyle. And then there's what's called the path of the just. There's the path of the wicked and the path of the just. You got to pick one of them. Many people think they can walk with the people on the path of the wicked and walk on their old path and live a new life. It's like saying, I'm going to keep going and working in the dump, but I'm going to be a doctor. Okay. They're not conducive to each other, okay? You walk in to do surgery, and you got a hunk of bologna from 5 days ago hanging off you. It doesn't work, okay? And so let's look at the path, the different path there is. There's two different paths, and we see that. Let's look at Proverbs 4 again. Where's your life going? What's your direction in your life? Is still around the old sinfulness, the anger, the people who are the way of just being discontent, the way of arguing, the way of strife, the way of living for money, the way for living of the world, or the new path. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse, we saw the wicked path, verse 14 and 15. Look at verse 18. But the path of the just is a shining light and shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. It's different paths completely. One is eternal way. I came to my spiritual life. I had all my things I did. I had my friends. I had my lifestyle. I had the world. And I started walking along, and there was my old friends, my old lifestyle, and what I lived for, and the partying, and the fun, and all that stuff. And there was that. And I went this way. And there was this way of God, and I went this way. And I was on both of them for a little while. But they kept getting farther apart. I can't go very far, so I'm not going to show you how it goes. But eventually, your splits can only go so far. And you got to pick which one you're going to go on. The old life or the new life. You got to pick a new path. You got to say, I am no longer in this direction. I am not living that way and for that and with those priorities and that kind of talking and that kind of direction. I am not on that path anymore. I'm changing my path, okay? That's what you have to do. Next, you got to change your friends. Proverbs 4 and verse 14, enter not the path of the wicked and go not the way of evil men. I'm going to read you a lot of verses here on this. Because it's so clear in the Bible, you cannot have the wrong friends and serve God. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. This is the best verse on it in the Bible, probably. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. It's a promise of God. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Pretty clear. One or the other. Which one? Who are you going to walk with? That's just what God says. It's not really debatable. God just says, if you walk this with these people, you'll be wise. You walk with these people, you'll be destroyed. That's what God says. And so your crowd makes a difference. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. You got to pick there. Proverbs 28. I'm going to show you a lot of verses here about who you hang around. Proverbs 28 and verse 7. Whoso keep the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. Okay, just lots of verses here. So how do I pick? You know, this guy says, you know, he's a good person, and he really means well. Okay, let me give you a good one. Let me take you to Psalm 119. This maybe will help you. I find this is a pretty good definer of people, Psalm 119. In verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. What do they think about God, and what do they think of the word? That's my crowd. People who love God, people who love the Bible. That's who I want to hang around. And that's you got to change your friends. Everything I started that was stupid in my life got started. I can trace it back to the friend. When I was 14, I started chewing tobacco. You know how stupid it is to put a piece of weed in your lip to make yourself spit all the time? Do you know there's no real... By the way, if you're not used to it, stop for a sec. Think how stupid smoking is. You are lighting up a weed so you can inhale the smoke of that weed. Because it's full of poison that makes you addicted. That's exactly what smoking is. If you're ever stopped, it's really a stupid habit. You know, like at least eat chocolate. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, why did I start chewing tobacco? And then when we were real tough, because we wanted to chew tobacco in class, we called it gutting it. You learned to swallow it. And so we'd sit there in class, and we'd be chewing, and we'd be sitting there, and we'd swallow it because we were tough, and we were, you know. And so we'd sit there in class the whole time. We'd be swallowing our tobacco. What a stupid thing to do. You know why I started that? Because my friends started doing it. You say peer pressure doesn't affect me. There's nobody on the earth peer pressure doesn't affect. You're less likely to cuss right now in church than you are around your bad friends who cuss. Not exempted from it. We've had that. Listen, it is, you stop hanging around the wrong crowd and wondering why you keep on falling. Stop. You got to change your crowd. I am a person... If you said, you know, Pastor, what would you rather do, dig a ditch or gossip? I'd say, yeah, give me a shovel. Gossip to me is not entertaining. I don't understand. Mary, she likes John and Bob. I don't know why that's fun. I understand lots of sins, okay? I don't understand gossip. It's just not temptation for me, okay? It just isn't. I one day got with a guy who was a gossip. I didn't even know he's a gossip. And I left the conversation saying, I just sat there and gossiped for a half hour. I didn't realize I was doing it. He was such a good gossiper. He just pulled information out of me, and I was like, let me tell you everything. I mean, it was just, what's wrong with me? And I am the most tight-lipped guy in the world. If you who know me know I gossip, you'd laugh your head off at that, because my wife says, you didn't tell me that, you know, your arm got cut off yesterday. I mean, I don't tell anybody anything. I'm just closed-lipped. I don't like, and this guy just like, it was better than eating chocolate to tell this guy information. It was amazing, because hanging around a gossip. You say, what did he tell you, Pastor? What did you tell him? I'm not going to tell you. And because you're a gossip. And but why? Your friends affect you, and who you hang around affects you. So many dumb things you did. I hate to admit this, but I was a goof off and wasn't serving the Lord. I messed around in school. School was always easy for me, but I didn't care. I could get a C without trying, so I always did. Okay? I had one semester I got good grades. I got average grades all the way through school. I had one semester. That one semester, I hung around for whatever reason. I had one friend who cared about school and loved to learn, and I hung around that friend for that one semester for whatever reason. I got good grades that semester. My one semester that I got good grades. I was doing homework. It was amazing. And I never did homework. I never had to do homework. They didn't give me homework in shop class. And so, why? Because hanging around somebody who wanted to do homework and to get good grades and liked learning. And I learned a lot that semester. I found out learning's fun. I found out when you try in class and you're not shooting spitwads half the time, it's kind of fun to learn something. Okay? And so... you'll find that who you hang around has an effect on you. And if you're going to be in this, if you have a problem with gossip, you have a problem with anger, and you hang around angry people, the Bible says, be not friends with an angry man. If you have a problem with drugs, and you hang around your old drug friends, if you have a problem with lust, and you're going to go be alone with your girlfriend, okay, listen, who you hang around determines how God treats you. A companion of fools will be destroyed. You got to be around the right people. My friends, eventually, the good thing happened is I just became a soul winner and started witnessing everybody, and your friends either want to get saved or want to get away from you. And so that's what happened. And I got our right friends, and I wouldn't be here today if I wouldn't have got the right friends. You've got to change your crowd. You have to. I got a few other things on this. This includes, the companionship thing has changed, okay? It's changed in our modern society. Your companionship now includes your entertainment. If you're listening to music for 3 hours a day, you're watching TV for 2 hours a day, that's who you're hanging around. You're playing a video game for 4 hours a day, that's your companionship. Okay? That's who you're interacting in, that's what you're listening to, that's who you're hanging around, okay? I've always found this, somebody seems like they're doing the right things. They're finally coming to church. They're finally reading their Bible. They're starting to get a prayer life, and they're doing the right steps to get victory. And they say to me, I just cannot get over this. I can't stop. Next question will always be, what's your music like? And I know if their music doesn't change, they're always going to be stuck. Always. A couple of verses on that. You don't need to turn to them because they're pretty simple verses. Psalm 40, verse 3. He hath put a new song in my heart. Amen. Even praise to God. When did your music change? Okay. 28 years later, I can still go into a store and they play my heavy metal music and I'm instantly affected. I think most people aren't close enough to God and far enough out of the world to realize how much something affects them. They don't feel it, but immediately my spirit feels it. And it brings back memories of where I was, what I was doing. Music brings back memories. And it puts you in a mood. Music is profoundly, profoundly important. You've got to change your music, your movies, your entertainment. You can't expect to watch anger and revenge and lust and for hours a day and listen to music about that stuff and expect it not to affect you. It affects you. You've got to change your friends and your crowd. These things are very important. Psalm, another verse, Psalm 40, verse 3, about a new song. Just changing these things. Don't be around that stuff. Next, you got to change your lust. You've got to flee lust. Change your path. Change your friends. The last thing I want to say is you have to replace. You have to replace. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll finish up here. If you want to break the cycles, these are the things you have to do. You say, "Well, I don't want to do those things." Well, then. You like your cycles more than you want to change. I mean, that's nothing I can do for you. I mean, if you don't want to take this, if you want to stay in this, cycles aren't broken easily. It's your character. It's what you're doing. It's what you are. It's in your character. It's the ruts that you naturally slide into. That's your. And by the way, eventually they become good. When you start doing the right thing, you naturally do the right thing. Okay, but you gotta break the cycle and become in good cycles. Ephesians chapter 4. You got to replace what you got rid of. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth. Okay? Don't just not lie, start speaking truth. Okay? Everything here is going to be about replacing. Go to the verse before. And that you put on, verse 22, put off. Verse 24, that you put on the new man. Verse 25, putting away lying, speak every man the truth to his neighbor, for he remembers one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down to your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him rather labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that give to him that needeth. What do you know what he says there? He says, instead of lying, learn to speak truth. Use your tongue for a good thing. It is impossible for humans. You get voids in your life when you just take things out. Okay, a man had one demon, he got rid of it, cleaned up his house, he gets seven more back. You cannot leave voids. You have to replace it with a good thing. You cannot just get rid of all your bad friends. You must get a good friend. So it says here, it says, the person who used to steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands, doing good things with his hands. Those hands, he used to go and pick the pocket. Those hands need to now be busy. They were busy for bad. Now they need to be busy for good. Working and laboring to give to people. Laboring that which is good so he may give to people. If he was a thief taking for people, he needs to replace that now, that void that he doesn't do anymore. And now he needs to learn to give to people. Do you understand? He replaced it with something better. You will not just get rid of bad friends. You got to get good friends. You will not just stop stealing. You've got to start doing something good. You will not just stop listening to bad music. You need to start listening to good music. That's replacing. God says, "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Praise the Lord. I was not very strong as a new Christian, and I was pretty weak. One of the things that happened. The change that made it so much easier to be a good Christian and change my life and stop all, and I had so many, everything I did was wrong. I mean, I basically, you know, hit every single dart I threw at the target of sin. I mean, that was my whole life. And there was so many things, I was so weak. How was I going to overcome all these things? You know, one of the easiest ways to overcome all your bad is, and what I did, and I didn't mean to do it, I didn't have the wisdom, God just kind of shooed me along, is I got so busy doing good things, I ran out of time and energy for bad things. I was always at church. I was always witnessing. I was always helping somebody. I was always studying my Bible. I anything I could do for the Lord, I was just busy, busy, busy. And I got a job and I was working. And, you know, a good Christian is a busy sinner. And so you just go and replace all the voids and all the bad things and start finding the way to do something good. Start trying to see lives changed. Don't just stand there and try to resist bad. Go out and do good. Go on the offensive. General Patton said the best defense is having so many bullets flying your enemy they won't lift their head to shoot at you. Okay? and being on the offensive in the spiritual life, being busy helping people, Go find someone to feed. Go find somebody fallen to lift up. Go find someone whose heart is broken and start helping heal their heart. Go find somebody who nobody loves and love them. Go win a soul to Christ. Go to church. Read your Bible. Go teach somebody the Bible. Get out there and do something good instead of just leaving voids and sitting home and saying, I'm not going to do anything wrong today. Pretty tough to do in this world. We don't live, folks, in a day where we're on a farm with 160 acres and there's no one around and nothing bad to do except for, you know, kick the dog and throw rocks at sheep. You know, I mean, our life, you don't have to go very far to do bad things. There's temptation everywhere. It's everywhere. And so you've got to have some good things to replace all the bad things. You can try to be right and try to be a good person, do everything. You're still going to be tempted like crazy in this society. So you've got to overcome evil with good. You've got to be purposeful in grabbing good things and finding good things and seeking good purposes. Because if you don't replace things with good things, the bad will start crowding back in. And there's a lot of bad crowding. It's pushing all the time. And so we want to be doing that. All right, we got to finish up here. and we're going to pray and be dismissed just a sec. We have a table back there with Brother Young, his stuff, if you would like to go back there and meet him. He's one of our missionaries, and you can do that after we dismiss here for about 10 minutes. Lord, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray that we would be people breaking out of cycles, seeing victory. Thank you for your word that teaches us these things. And Lord, we have so many good Bible verses you teach us. Thank you for victory that's ours. Help us to live in victory and have the joy of victory. And may we do it by making sure that we take the steps to break these cycles. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you in a few minutes.